All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. We have our Bibles there. And again, with the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to you on this theme of a threefold cord. A threefold cord. I always loved it in school when the teacher had an object lesson. It's amazing how much we can learn. Now, we should be able to learn all the time, but the object lesson, it always helps to be able to put something with truth. And everybody here, I think you've seen a rope before. Everybody's seen a rope. And my compliments to the... Was this from Brother Miksha or from you? Or both? From you. Okay. I didn't know maybe if you got into his supplies and just took it, and he wouldn't do that. But this is from Brother Costa, and thank you. And these are also from Brother Costa. They're from who? From, you stole them. Okay. No, thank you. Just kidding. And I'm just saying thank you for helping me with this. And so, but again, you've all seen a rope. There's no one here, I'm sure, that probably hasn't seen a rope. And that's exactly what this rope is. It's a threefold cord. Threefold cord. It's all weaving together. I'm sorry if you're way back and your eyes are like mine and you need a new prescription. Mine's coming, praise the Lord, maybe this week. But you may not be able to see that in the back, but there's three cords right there. Kevin, can you see that from back there? You do? How many do you see? Yeah, right. I kind of figured that was it. And so, let's see, Brother Kim, do you see all three of those? Okay, so Brother Kim, okay. Brother Tony, take your glasses off so you can see it, okay? Just kidding. Can you see it? Okay. So, three cords, one rope, right? On the end here, it's just the one. With the three together, it's obviously a lot stronger, right? And this passage in Ecclesiastes has a lot to do with the value of fellowship, family. You know, one is great, but two are better. And the threefold cord, though, is not easily broken. And, you know, that's the case. I have these scissors here. You've seen somebody do this probably. You know, I'm not going to have anybody come up, but you can with the one, you can cut it pretty easy. That's one cord. No problem, even with my wrist. Amen? Thankfully, these are really sharp. And you got another one, no problem. One at a time, no problem. Right? Easy. Easy peasy. I'm not going to give it a lot, but I probably could cut it. Maybe not. But you put all these together, and it's a lot thicker. And I'm squeezing. I'm having to actually saw through it. And eventually it would cut, because I cut a little bit of it. But not like with these, it's just boom, boom, boom. Tie them together, and it's a whole lot stronger. You know, you think the illustration can go so many different ways. You know, when you get saved, this book right here takes on a whole new meaning. Amen? This book takes on a whole new meaning. Before you became a Christian, I don't know what really everyone here thought of the Bible, but when you get saved, this is no longer anything like it was before you got saved. This is now everything that you need to be nourished and to live the Christian life to its fullest. Everything is found in here. Praise God. I don't remember. I think it was Brother James, or when we were praying before the service, said, thank you for that we have a Bible. Okay? So, let's just say for a minute that the Bible is one of these cords. Now, when you get saved, you can begin to understand more of God's Word than ever before, because we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And we can just begin to learn more. I'm not saying the Bible is just one. Just think about it for a second. This one, we could say this one is prayer. Hey, prayer is real. It's as real as me having a conversation with you. We can talk to God in the very same way. And when you get saved, now you have access to God. You realize that before you got saved, you had no access to God? And everybody says, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You know what? I'm not trying to be unkind, but unless you know the Lord, you can't get a hold of heaven. Because when you try to get a hold of heaven without your sins forgiven, you're not getting in. Why? Because God is holy. And if I try to get into heaven before I got saved, I can't get to God because I needed some righteousness first. When I got saved, I didn't get Ben's righteousness. I got the righteousness of Jesus. And now when I go to knock on heaven's door, I can get access to God, not because I'm good, but because God, because Jesus Christ is completely righteous. And when I got saved, I got his righteousness. And now I have access to God. So we have the Bible, we have prayer, and then I'm going to call this one, this is the message, this is the introduction. I'm going to call this one the local church. The local church. Do you realize this, that if you've got the Bible and prayer, you've got two pretty powerful things right there. But to sit at home and say, I'm going to read my Bible and pray and I don't need the church, that's very foolish. Because Jesus said that the church, he mentioned the church in Matthew 16, he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we need the local church. To say, I go to church and I read my Bible, but I never pray. You're missing something. You're missing one of the three cords that God has given. He's given us more than this. I'm just using these three. You're missing something so valuable. To say, well, I pray a little bit, I go to church a little bit, but I never read the Bible again. Put them all together. And on this end over here, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm reading my Bible, seeking God's help in the Word of God. I'm praying for others, for my own needs, for the church family. And I'm faithfully being involved in the local church. That's a pretty good threefold cord. God's Word, prayer, and the church. Put them together. It's exactly what God intended. And this passage of Scripture, it tells us that. It tells us what it's like to be alone. It gives us the dangers of being alone. You notice that in verse number 10. The dangers of it. And we may come back to that in just a minute, so we'll just leave that there for now. Psalm 118, verse 27, the Bible says, God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Here we read of a binding of the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. This was done to prevent the animal from running away until it was time for the sacrifice. In Romans 12 and 1, the Bible says we are told to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And I know, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my Christian life, I have a tendency to drift. But you know what? The threefold cord helps me. I have a tendency to drift in my Christian life. Don't worry. You know what I really feel like doing is jumping rope right now. I just got that thought. But you know what? I don't think you want to see me jumping rope across the platform. So I'm not going to do that. Because I might fall. A threefold cord would trip me. In that case. You know what? I tend to drift sometimes. But just like it said to bind the sacrifice, to bind the animal to the altar. Psalm 118, 27. We don't have time to turn there, but maybe look that up and read it later and think about it a little bit. God says, you know what? I want you, Ben. I want you, Ben. I want you to be a living sacrifice. And to be the proper living sacrifice that God has for me, I need God's word, I need prayer, and I need the local church. I need to stay tied to each one of those so that when it comes time for me to be a living sacrifice for God, I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, living how I'm supposed to be living, and maybe not necessarily in that order. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Turn now, if you would, in the New Testament, the book, verse that we read from the chapter of charity or the chapter of love in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. First Corinthians 13. I believe in this verse of Scripture, we see a threefold cord that I would like to give you with the remaining time. Everyone has read, more than likely, most of us in here, I'm not going to say everyone, but a good portion of us in here have read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 before. If you never have, that's okay. But here we find a threefold cord in verse 13 that are vital for every Christian's life. Yes, the church, the Bible, and prayer, as we talked about by way of illustration. But God gives us these, and the Apostle Paul gives us these, this threefold cord. As you think about it, every one of us in life, we come across different seasons in life. Seasons of storms, seasons of excitement. I mean, Monday morning at 9:30. Brother Charles, are you with me? He's back at Monday morning at 9:30. What time was the baby born? 9:32. I was off by 2 minutes. Okay, Monday morning at 9:32. Wow. Birth. Amen? That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a very exciting time, isn't it? The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some have gone to heaven recently. That's not such an exciting time for us on this earth. But oh, when they entered the gates, when they entered the street of gold, and they entered into the presence of the Lord, let me tell you, it was even more exciting than 9:32 a.m. on Monday morning. Right? Yeah. Excitement. Yeah. We all know what it means to go through seasons of really joy and excitement. But along with those come seasons of not such excitement and joy here on this earth. And so we've got to find a threefold cord that keeps us anchored to the anchor. Jesus is the anchor, right? The threefold cord keeps us tied to the anchor. And many times, we or the enemy are doing our best to cut the cord. Did you get to cut the cord, Brother Charles? You didn't get to, okay. Sorry. I cut all three of them. Cut the cord. You know what? That's what the enemy wants to do today in your life. You know, it's a lot easier for the enemy. If you're a teenager today, listen carefully. The enemy is going to have a heyday with your life if you're not reading the Bible. Here's what the enemy's going to do. Well, the enemy's not left-handed. I got to go with my strength. The enemy's weak in the left hand too. The enemy is right-handed, right? Right there. You don't read your Bible. By the way, that's not just for teenagers. That's for everybody here. You know what? If we don't have a prayer life, you know, it's going to be easy. Right? No problem. The enemy. So forth and so on. You could name whatever you want. I just thought of those three. Because those are three powerful ones. And let me tell you that God has given us those three and many others so that we can stay tied down to the rock, to the anchor, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, as we think about whatever you're thinking about right now in your life that is seemingly just kind of, maybe it's turmoil or maybe everything's going great. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Let's look at these cords, threefold cord. Number one, we see the cord of established faith. You see that? And now abideth what? Faith. That's the established cord of faith. The cord of established faith. Letter A, underneath that, we see faith defined. Quickly go over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. These three in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 form a very powerful rope. Three cords make a very powerful rope. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, this is what faith is not. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark. I'm just going to run off the end of this platform, and I have faith to believe that Jenkins is going to catch me. Ready? I'm not. I don't have faith to believe that would work too well. For you, probably for you, you might get the brunt of that one. No, it's not jumping off into the dark. That's not faith. Here's what faith is. Faith is a confident leap into the arms of God. I'm not just jumping off into this thing. Hey, the Word of God can be trusted. Two people believe the Word of God can be trusted. You know what? The Word of God can be trusted. Amen. Why? The Word of God has stood the test of time. The Word of God, the enemy has tried to destroy the Word of God and push out the Word of God. But the Word of God can be trusted. And if God leads us into the Word of God, from the Word of God, to do something, good news is this. We can trust God's Word. We can follow God's Word. It is not a blind leap into the dark. It is a confident leap into the arms of a loving Heavenly Father. The Word of God can be trusted. Often the end of our time, or often the end of the decision, is not in view when this leap is made, but the landing is never in doubt. You know what? When God leads us to do something, I may not see where it's ending up, but I know this, God is already where it's ending up. When God leads us as a church to take a step of faith, and we follow that step of faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that is faith defined. Faith has the capacity to behold what the eyes cannot see. Faith has the capacity to behold what the eyes cannot see. I can't see what God has for 2020 for Anchor Baptist Church, or even for my life as an individual, but I don't have to have faith in what I cannot see. I can behold the promises of God's Word. I can behold the faithfulness of God. I can behold what God can do, and that is never fail. A faith that is not worth testing is a faith that is not worth trusting. Faith defined. Number two underneath that, faith demanded. Faith demanded. There is little in life that pleases the Lord unless it's done by faith. You see that in Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 6, please. The Bible says, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There is only one life that pleases the Lord, and it is a life lived by faith. And it goes so far as to say in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a pretty strong verse, isn't it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I want to please God, if I want to have a strong cord, if you will, a strong rope, one of those cords must be an established faith. Poorly written letter, I found this illustration, a poorly written letter with a stamp will arrive at its destination, while a perfectly written one without a stamp will not. Likewise, it is not the eloquence of our prayer that captures God's attention, but the faith we display by coming to God and trusting Him with our petitions. Think about that. Beautiful written letter with no stamp. It's not going to get there. But a prayer like the prayer of Peter. Remember the prayer of Peter? It wasn't a very long one. He didn't have time to pray long. He didn't have time to make these long words that you can't even spell. He didn't have time to do a lot of these and thous and all and this and whatever. No, the guy was going under. How long does it take for a fully grown man to sink? Let me just tell you, not long. That prayer was pretty fast. Lord help! God saw right to Peter's heart and God helped Peter. Hey, you don't have to come to this altar today and pray for an hour and a half. Hey, if you can pray for an hour and a half, let's do it. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying sometimes it's not the bigness and all of that. It's the sincerity from our heart that God sees the faith of a widow who's giving her mite. And God sees the faith of someone who on the outside doesn't look like what we think they ought to look like. But on the inside, that faith is growing and it's getting stronger. And they have a genuine and a hunger and a desire to make something different out of their life. My friends, it is very important that we have faith. Faith defined, faith demanded, and one more, faith demonstrated. And verses 3 to 40, I don't have time to look at it, but all through that chapter, faith is demonstrated. One right after the other. By faith, by faith, by faith. This afternoon, if you want to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, can I challenge you? It's going to take faith. If you want to stand in a time where even many people who claim the name of Christ are caving in to the pressures of the religious world that we live in. And by the way, religion never saved one person. A steeple on top of the building never saved one person. A tank of baptism, a baptismal tank never saved one person. Holy water never saved one person. Beads never saved one person. Chanting never saved one person. Going to church every time the doors are open never saved one person. There is, you can come up with it, you tell me what it is, and if it's not what the Bible says, which is by grace through faith, then it's never saved one person. And so today you may have come to church, and thank you, every one of you, sincerely. I probably won't be able to shake everyone's hand, but thank you for coming. I'm so glad that you're here. But more important than that, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to die right now, would you be in heaven? And if not, today, on this 15th day, I believe, the 15th day of December, 2019, what better day to establish your faith? The early faith is a saving faith. The rest of life, don't even worry about that. Don't even think about that. The first faith you need is a saving faith. God has that available for us today. But faith, it takes faith to stand when others are falling. It takes faith to serve God. It takes faith to follow God into the unknown future. What does God have for my life? Follow Him by faith. Trust Him. You know what? God can plan your life better than you can plan your life. God can plan my life better than I can plan my life. But I have plans. But do they match God's plans? Faith. It takes faith to let God plan my life. It takes faith to be like the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. That took a lot of faith. It takes faith to be a Daniel, to be a Shadrach, to be a Meshach, to be an Abednego. It takes faith to be an Abraham, to be a David, a Peter. Hey, how about a blind man looking for a miracle? It took faith. Hey, it takes faith in 2019 to be a husband that honors God. It takes faith. It takes faith to be a man who honors God in 2019. You know, the devil is after men. Now, ladies, he's after you too. But God has a divine order. That does not mean that ladies are inferior, by the way. But it simply means God has a divine order. And let me say, God is after manhood. Why is all this stuff going on today? Because, not God, the devil's after manhood. Excuse me. The devil's after man. God is, devil's after men. To destroy the home, the devil's going after the husband first. Men, let me challenge you. It takes faith to be the man that God wants you to be. Ladies, it takes faith to be the lady God wants you to be. Young people, it takes faith. And by the way, these 10-year-olds, how are they going to learn how to have faith? They're going to learn how to have faith through the example of their parents. It takes faith. Life is all about it as a Christian. When we learn that God is in absolute control of it all, it will bind us more securely to Him. My life is out of control. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. You know why? Because God knew it was going to happen before it happened. Faith keeps me bound to God. By the way, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, God loves us. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. It takes faith to stay bound to a God that loves us. The enemy, anything but loves you. I wonder today, are you bound with the cord of faith? Number two. We see the cord, number one, of established faith. By the way, my faith is established in the Lord, not in any man or woman. Now, praise God for the church and people that we can follow and we can lead people and so forth. I'm saying our faith is established in the Lord. Secondly, we see the cord of expectant hope. And now by the faith, hope. Expectant hope. Number one, or letter A under that, we have hope's features. Hope's features. What is hope? Well, the dictionary says this, that hope is to have a wish to get or do something, or for something to happen or be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. That's the dictionary definition of hope. That's not the Bible definition. That's the dictionary definition, and dictionaries are good. But biblical hope is this. Biblical hope is a confident expectation resting on the promises of God. It is this, as the songwriter says, standing on the promises. Look, my hope is not in you. My hope is not in Ottawa. My hope is not in government. My hope is in the promises of the Word of God. And as we said earlier, if God has it in His Word, we can count on it. We can put our hope in it that it is going to happen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Newsflash. We can put our hope in the fact that Jesus is coming again. When is He coming? Have no idea. Bible doesn't give us that. Bible doesn't tell us that. But Jesus gave me enough to this. I will come again means this. I will come again. You know what? My hope is in the promises of the Word of God. That is the feature of hope. Jeremiah 17:7 said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed means happy. You want to fix your happy meter? Get your hope off of everything that it's on and put your hope in the Lord. Another verse. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope fills us with joy. Where is your hope today? Genuine hope is not wishful thinking. Genuine hope is a confident expectation in what God will do as He has promised. Would you turn quickly to Psalm 119, verse number 89. The features of hope. Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, how long does it say the word of God is settled in heaven?
Forever.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hope takes the word of God at face value. God said it in His word. Whether anybody believes it or not, it's settled. Put your hope in the Word of God. Hope's features. How about hope's future? Because my hope is anchored in the Word of God, it will see all that it expects come to pass, if not in time, then surely in eternity. I'm not hoping in something that will never happen. My hope is in something that will happen. It will either happen in my lifetime, or it will happen in eternity. What are those two things? Quickly. Number one, His return. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Threefold cord is not easily broken. Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2. An established faith, number one, an expectant hope. Look what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed what? Hope. What is that blessed hope? It's the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have that to look forward to. Now that may not happen in my lifetime. That may not happen in your lifetime. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It could happen while I'm already in heaven. It could happen while you are already in heaven. But it is something that we can put our hope in. It is the future of hope. As I stand here today, the future of hope for me is heaven for all eternity. The future, if you're saved, your hope for eternity is heaven for all eternity. And again, that's a promise that we have in the Word of God. Secondly, we see hope's future is the return of Christ. Secondly, we see the reward, heaven's reward. I quoted to you already in John 14, so we won't turn there. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Faith established. Hope expectant. We're talking about a threefold cord is not easily broken. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." It is a lively hope. As we anchor our hope in the Word of God, as we anchor our hope in the Word of God, even when difficulties come, we can hear even God say, "Peace be still." It may not be that you're out on the ocean, but you're in the ocean of life, and you need to hear that, "Peace be still." That's where our hope is placed. Peace be still. Are you bound today, number one, with the strong cord of faith? Where's your faith established? Are you bound today with the strong cord of an expectant hope? One more. The one the Bible says is the greatest is the cord of eternal love. Of eternal love. Firstly, we see love's nature. Love's nature. Go to Jeremiah 31, please. Love's nature. Biblical love is rare in the world. Now, there are plenty of manifestations of love. Agape, meaning the eternal love, the love of God. That's not easy for us. Nigh almost impossible, but I believe God can give us the ability to love like Him. Never to His extent. We all have said, "I love," or "I'm in love," or, you know, and the word can be tossed around a little bit sometimes, maybe a little bit flippantly, if you will. But as we're talking about this cord, it is the nature of love. We're not talking about, praise the Lord, we're not talking about maybe our love, which is sometimes like this. We're talking about God's love. And look what it says in Jeremiah 31, 3. It says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Jeremiah 31, 3. "Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee." Love's nature. The nature of God's love is this, that it is constant. Constant. He says it is everlasting. Think about the times that we have utterly failed God. I have my hand, this hand, it's just numerous. But guess what? God's love has never been impacted by my failures. That's part of this cord. You need that kind of love in your life. I'm talking about we need God's love, but we need to take that and give it to others. Not only is it constant, but it is impartial. It's impartial. What does that mean? The Bible says, "God so loved the," what, Astor? "The world." That means God loves everyone. Everyone. God so loved the world. That means He loves people that have lots of money. He loves people that have very little money. He loves people that have college education. He loves people that have no education. He loves people that are just, I mean, beyond qualified and educated. He loves people that can't read. We lost some lights back there, ushers. Can you help us a little bit? He loves when the lights get turned off in church. There we go. Oh, there we go. Good. It's impartial. Look, I'm going to say something right now, but please don't look around you like it's for somebody else. Every one of us in here have loved with partiality. We look at some people because of what we size them up to be. We don't love them as God loves them. Maybe somebody's looked at me that way. Okay. Maybe somebody's looked at you that way. Okay. Just remember, you've looked at people that way. I've looked at people that way. But God has never seen anyone that He's looked at them that way. Because you know why? God has created everyone in his image. The Bible speaks over and over and over about it. For God so loved the world. It is impartial. It is constant. Here's one more about God's love. It is stable. It is stable. Stable. You know what every marriage needs? Every marriage needs a husband that loves his wife in unstable times. Every wife needs a husband that loves her in unstable times. See, God's love is stable. You can read about it in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It talks about all these things that happen. A lot of stuff happens in those verses. And then you know what it says? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Why? Because God's love is stable. God's love is not impacted by the problems in this world. Hallelujah to that. God's love is not impacted by the choices that I've made. We talked about that. God's love is not impacted by anything that comes and tries to push us off course. God's love is stable. It's the love we need in this cord. Biblical love is described in the other verses of chapter 13 that we read a moment ago. So love's nature, it's constant, it's impartial, it's stable. This is the kind of love. By the way, if you're not saved today, this is the kind of love God offers within the family of God. Now, God loves you today even if you're lost. It's amazing for me to think about this, that God has loved everybody that has denied him. God loved the betrayer, Judas. He called him friend. His betrayer, he called his friend. Somebody betrayed you. I don't think friend would be the first title you would give them. And I wouldn't either. But see, that's because that's the love God has for us. Then we see love's necessity. Quickly go with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. Thank you so much for listening. Pray we're listening to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God most. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God, and love thy neighbor as yourself. You see, when we have the right relationship with God vertically, loving God as we ought to, then we can have the right love horizontally for everyone that we ought to. You cannot have your love for God to be weak, and your love for your fellow man to be strong. It's impossible. You might like your fellow man, but you won't love them how you ought to. But when we love God how we ought to love God, his love comes through us to our fellow man. And I don't mean male, I mean mankind, as you know. Without genuine biblical love, we cannot love one another as God would have us to. When we love the Lord as we should, nothing will be allowed to come between us. Threefold cord. Faith, hope, charity. I know in this case, all three of these are equally important. The Bible says the greatest is charity, so the Bible outrules the illustration of the rope. Okay? But if I'm going to love how I ought to, if I'm going to love God, nothing can come between me and my relationship with God. And by the way, God never creates contradicting times where we have to choose between God or someone else. It's not, that's not God. God does not contradict His word. Well, you know, you don't understand. I've got to take care of my family. Yes, the way you take care of your family is loving God supremely. Well, I've got to spend time with my family. Yes, you spend time with your family first and foremost by loving God supremely. Don't cut the love of God. Don't cut your love for God to say, you know what, we can't do as much as we should in the church because we don't have time. We've got to be involved in this, this, and this, and this that have nothing to do with eternity. You know what you've just done? You've just said, I don't love my family. That's what you're saying. Hey, how's our family going to learn how to love God? They're going to follow the leadership of their mom and dad, their dad and mom. The best thing you can give your kids is an example of someone who is not perfect but loves God. The best thing you can give your kids is an example of someone who, yes, falls, but loves God. Someone that reads their Bible. Someone that prays. Someone that's in church every time the doors are open, physically able to be here. That's that threefold cord. The threefold cord is not easily broken. Are you bound with the strong cord of faith? Are you bound with the strong cord of hope? Are you bound with the strong cord of love? Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. But a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Maybe today you have at least one of the cords. Your faith is there, but maybe your hope is not what it ought to be. Maybe your love is not what it ought to be. Maybe you have two out of three. The point is that that's not the point. The point is this. I want the whole thing. I want the whole strong cord in my life. Because this keeps me tied to the anchor. The Lord Jesus Christ is our anchor. Maybe the beginning illustration, you haven't been reading your Bible very much. Hey, it's time to get the Word of God out. Start reading God's Word. Maybe you really have never had any kind of a prayer life. It's time to start praying. What is prayer? Talking to God. Talking to God. Hey, maybe you're just not as faithful as you should be in church. Hey, it's time to start being faithful in church. Put them all together and what do you got? You got a threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. Maybe today you're sitting here and thinking, you know what? I have no idea if I died today if I would go to heaven. First place you need to be is faith to be saved. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.